Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 2, Episode 101. Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, and I'm David Todd from The Hammer Speaks. Dave, 101 sounds like a little better than a perfect score. If you're grading the Steelers, that's about what everybody's giving them today.
David, I got to admit to you, I was pretty stunned. My palms were sweating those last four picks. It is. It's a perfect score. How can it not be? And with of course, Stanford guard David DeCastro, what a land for Kevin Colbert. He didn't have to even move up and get it.
And that's the really interesting thing, and we'll get into this at length. It was fun for me last night to be down at Steeler headquarters, first time I've ever broadcast from there, and I was on the air at 10 o'clock. Dave, as you and I talked about here just before we started the podcast, what we saw last night, it was fascinating. That thing was moving. That draft was flying along. Clearly the NFL said that we're going to try to keep it in this. I think they said we're going to try to keep it in this 8 to 11 window. And I think they did it with it, you know, within about 90 seconds. They were coming fast and furious.
Yeah, and, you know, we kind of talked about the potential of some trades or whatnot. And, you know, we both agreed it was a potential. But I think it was even more than what I thought. You know, I kind of thought some of these teams, with there being, you know, a rookie salary now and all like that, you know, and the clamps put on that, making those top picks a little bit more valuable. Teams were still willing to move all over that board, and it was coming fast and furious. And didn't you find it funny that Adam Schefter was just killing it two picks before the television? It was incredible to try to keep up with.
Yeah, it was, and the television was obviously trying to pace things so that each team got a little bit of their spotlight in there. But clearly teams knew what they wanted to do, particularly with the trades, and they were in a hurry to get their cards in. Nobody wanted to pull a Minnesota from a couple years back when they missed their window. So we saw that. And, Dave, just like you said, look, the new CBA has done a lot of things to the game, and we'll see how that evolves over the course of these 10 years. But clearly the first and most immediate impact that really made last night a lot of fun, probably will continue to make tonight a fair bit of fun, is they have reined in these rookie salaries. So instead of paying a guy at the top of the draft $50 million, they're paying him $20 million. Guys get slotted on the way down. As you said, it makes those top picks more valuable. But what it also means is guys can trade picks for picks. And we saw it all over the place yesterday. And we'll talk a little bit about this. But as you said, there were eight trades made in the first round. A couple of them happened pre-draft, of course. But we saw very few players being traded for picks. And what we saw, we saw Asante Samuel eventually goes to the Atlanta Falcons. But last night, it was picks for picks. It went right from the beginning, Cleveland and Minnesota. Cleveland giving up, three picks. Now, they came in with 13, so it's not the end of the day in terms of the number of picks they had. They stockpiled a bunch of picks for the Julio Jones trade last year, but they moved up and made sure they got Richardson. And then we saw, you know, kind of deal after deal, Dallas moving up to get Claiborne, and we saw New England move up twice. We saw Cincinnati move around, and we could talk about how some of this played out. But, yeah, Dave, you hit it right on the head. It's the new CBA that drove that, and that drove things. And then, as we said, fast and furious, let's just kind of roll through kind of what happened. I mean, I know everybody knows the picks, but the names that went off the board at the top six were pretty much as expected, a slight change in the order and who went where with Dallas moving up. But then we saw Tampa make the move with the Jags, and in the last 72 hours, I would say a couple names really flew up draft boards, and the buzz about Mark Barron was palpable, and there he went at 7 to Tampa.
Mark Barron, you could put an argument, I mean, easily could be top 10 type guy. And, you know, when you use the term guys flying up the draft board, I think we need to kind of address that real quick. it isn't like this guy miraculously gets better in the last few hours. What it is the scout info finally trickles down properly to the guys outside of not being insider types and all like that.
Yep.
And basically your mock drafts and your rankings and all like that kind of shuffle there. And of course your bloggers and your draft nicks and, you know, that's going to follow suit. So when you hear the stuff like Shay McClellan, Chandler Jones was a guy that all of a sudden popped up in there.
Yep.
It's just that people are finally catching up with the tape. So, you know, if some of these guys, if you go back and look at their rankings, if some of the guys had Chandler Jones in the first round, or if some of the guys had Shay McClellan in the first round in their, you know, rankings, say, you know, 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, these are the guys that probably got a better grasp of what's going on.
Yep, David, that's a great point. We then saw kind of the guys. I had tweeted earlier in the day that I thought there might be three guys who are surefire, you know, Pro Bowl type guys who can maybe play for 10 years that had an outside chance of falling to the Steelers. And they were Keekly, who went number 9 to Carolina, Barron, who went number 7 to Tampa, and DeCastro. And, you know, of course, of that group, I figured DeCastro is the least likely to fall. So we see a couple of those guys go early in terms of what was happening. And then Dontari Poe goes 11 to Kansas City.
And, you know, they're going to value him. Romeo Crennel is going to value him over there, I guess, as kind of a nose tackle type over there. So, you know, we admitted this guy's going to be a first round. We just didn't know where.
Yep.
And, you know, they didn't have to move up or down to get him. And you know, to me, it's going to take him, a year or so. I don't think he's plug and play, but, you know, he's got all the intangibles and the measurables. So, you know, we'll have to see how that turns out for them. You know what got me, David, that kind of started me, you know, kind of getting a little excited, was when the Cardinals, and should I say, when Larry Fitzgerald picked Michael Floyd.
Yeah.
Out of Notre Dame there. Could you, I mean, David DeCastro in a Cardinals uniform, how perfect would that have been for them? And you know, they definitely had to need there.
Somebody said it's going to be interesting to watch the corpses of Skelton and Cobb throw to Floyd and to Fitzgerald.
Yeah, most definitely. And I think that was a little bit, I think Floyd's, a good argument can be made for a first round talent.
And he's the best run blocking receiver in the draft. So, you know, there's a little added bonus there.
Yeah. And our buddy Dave Tay said, look for Michael Brockers to kind of drop. And, you know, 14, I think that's a fairly decent drop. What'd you think about the Bruce Irvin pick?
And I wanted to give you, I heard a great line about Dontari Poe, about where he went in the draft and what the consideration of it was called the planet theory. And the reasoning behind that is somebody said, there are only so many guys like that walking around the planet. So you've got to try. Only so many physical specimens like Dontari Poe.
And when you talk about Bruce Irvin,
Bruce Irvin, somebody said, you know, he could be one of the best. He'll be the best edge rusher in this draft and one of the best defensive players if he stays out of jail.
Yeah, and Pete Carroll likes those challenges, I guess. So, that pick probably surprised me the most. When you look at the Dolphins and Ryan Tannehill, we knew this was a possibility. It's not like our jaws were on the floor when this happened. But, when you start moving down there, from there, though, David, you started to see things kind of push down a little bit in there. And the value, especially on the defensive end / outside linebacker, kind of pushed down there.
Dave, as you were talking about that earlier, we saw in the first 13 picks, we had 3 quarterbacks, 2 receivers, a left tackle, 2 corners, and a safety. So you just see the emphasis of the passing game. 9 of those guys, directly passing game-related guys. We saw that, and so as you said, none of the interior guys go, basically, and the edge rushers, while, you know, important, they didn't get that valuation. I thought we might see Ingram go higher, and Irvin went first off the board, then the Jets fans weren't happy with Couples, and then we get in the division, and as you wrote about, boy, did the division do us some favors.
Yeah, most definitely. And you know, the Bengals couldn't, Mike Brown could not help himself going after Drake Kirkpatrick there. The Chargers really probably never imagined Melvin Ingram probably falling down to them in a position of need. Shay McClellan, the Bears definitely were looking at defense, you know, outside linebacker, defensive end, guys that could get after the quarterback here, took him there. The Titans, I kind of found the Titans, I was worried about them with DeCastro, especially with their, you know, head coach Mike Munchak being the, you know, offensive line guy himself. And they definitely could use some offensive line there with the selection of Kendall Wright. Kind of makes you – I was kind of curious selection for me there.
I think that's the pick that set everything up. I mean, we've talked about some different ones, but that's the pick that set the wheels in motion for the Browns, and the Browns screwed this whole thing up beyond belief.
Yeah, well, here's what happened. You know, when he gets to the Titans, I'm saying, okay, here we go. And then you thinking, well, the Bengals surely, Mike Brown's surely not going to let David DeCastro slide from that 21. Well, he trades off to the Patriots, and they come up to get Chandler Jones, and then it's on now, because when you start looking at the board, I knew the Lions needed a tackle. They probably never thought Riley Reiff was going to drop down there. So all Reiff had to do was get past the Browns, who obviously have Joe Thomas at left tackle. Now, they could have used a right tackle in Reiff. But Brandon Whedon, I mean, really, Brandon Whedon at 22, when David DeCastro is a perfect fit in you know, for them at guard?
Well, Dave, I mean, I got a lot to say about this. First of all, you know, I gave the Browns great credit last year for the draft. I think that Julio Jones trade was one of the best trades I've ever seen in the draft. I had no problem with stepping up to get Trent Richardson. They had the picks to do it. They wanted him. He's their guy. Fine. You made that decision. Here is a transcript of their press conference with the GM, Heckert, and the head coach, Shurmur. Here's how the conversation goes from their conversation with the press last night. Tom Heckert, obviously we're very excited about the two guys we got today. We look forward to the rest of the draft. Question, can you talk about taking Whedon at 22 instead of waiting for 37, which to me is obviously what they should have done, or they should have moved back. Nobody was taking Whedon. He said, that's obviously something we talked about. We had a lot of conversations about it. He goes on to say, if he's the guy we wanted to make sure we got him. Some teams knew we were interested, so we decided to pick him. Talks about the training camp conversation. Would it be a competition? He says, we have a new quarterback that's going to be with us. I think tonight is more or less about Brandon Whedon. He said, are you going to try to trade Colt McCoy this weekend? And he says, you know what? To be honest with you, we haven't thought about that. We really haven't. And I'm not trying to elude the question, but that's something we'll talk about tonight and tomorrow. How in God's name can you have that be your answer when you've just made your first round pick and you haven't talked about trading your starting quarterback, or you haven't thought about the ramifications of picking a quarterback in the first round? And then later last night or early this morning, Adam Schefter comes out and says, the Browns really wanted Kendall Wright. They were really disappointed, and they weren't sure what to do. And it looks like they now were, in hindsight, were completely disorganized. They had told Colt McCoy apparently face to face yesterday they weren't going to take a quarterback in the first round, and now it's clear as day that he is on the market. He probably will not be a Brown on the end of this weekend, which he probably is also a bad decision. This is why the Browns are the Browns.
They panicked. Right?
They panicked, and they didn't have a contingency plan.
You know, how do you fall in love with one player like Kendall Wright like that? How do you set your board up like that where – and here's the thing. Okay, so Kendall Wright's off the board. Look at the value on the board with David DeCastro or
– And eight other guys.
And eight other guys, exactly. You know, what has Bill Parcells always said over the years? You draft guys – when in doubt, you draft guys to protect the quarterback or get after the quarterback, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I was just floored. I mean, like you said, where do they pick in the second round? Number what?
37.
30 – Brandon Whedon would have probably been on the board there. I mean,
he's absolutely sitting there at 37. Are you joking? Nobody's taking him in the first round, and he's not going on the first five picks in the second round. It was an absolute gag of a pick.
That's why the Browns are the Browns.
And
like I wrote, you know, we can, you know, how the hell did this happen and who do we have to thank? You got to put the Bengals and the Browns right up on there. Now, in the Bengals' defense, they did grab the second best guard probably in this draft and got some picks along with it. So
yeah, and I'll say, look, as much as we're enamored with DeCastro and people are enamored of DeCastro, you know, across the board, I'll say this for the Bengals, and you know, you and I have talked about Zeitler. He is a real football player. That, you know, it's not out of the realm of possibility that they had the two guys graded virtually even, and they knew Zeitler would be there at 27 when they moved back. They needed to add some depth. They lost a lot of guys in free agency. So, you know, I'd give the Bengals a complete pass on this. They knew what they were doing. Now, if they ended up, you know, taking Brandon Weed in the second, then, you know, we'd kill them. But, you know, they got what they wanted. And if, you know, if they were as comfortable having Zeitler in there as DeCastro, then good on them.
Yeah, let me tell you another name after the Steelers got DeCastro. And we're going to break down DeCastro more here in a minute. The Texans getting Whitney Merciless out of Illinois after their former first-round pick. I'm drawing a blank here, went to the Bills.
Mario Williams.
Right, Mario Williams, you know, left via free agency. What a steal the Texans got there. That defense is already, you know, with J.J. Watt and all like that. They have to be thinking they're lucky stars right now that something like that happens. And, of course, the rest, you know, Nick Perry, perfect.
Let's not overlook Dante Hightower because, you know, and we'll get into the Steelers. But, you know, the Steelers, Kevin Colbert said this to me, and this is why one of the things people have talked about, the Steelers would have traded up for DeCastro. Well, here's the answer. They didn't trade up for David DeCastro. And the reason they didn't trade up for David DeCastro is when the draft got to 19, the Steelers had a group of guys. Let's be clear. They're thrilled to have David DeCastro. But, you know, they still expected him to go off the board. But they had a group of guys that they would have been comfortable with any one of them at 24. Now, DeCastro may have been the one they would most like to get. But the reason they didn't trade up to 19 or 18 and make a move then is Hightower was still on the board. Maybe Zeitler was still on the board. A couple other guys they liked were on the board, and they didn't have to do that.
Yeah, when you look at what's out there, you know, you got, as you said, you got Hightower. Whitney Merciless, I'm convinced that they had interest in him. Nick Perry, who went to the Packers, I they brought him in for a pre-draft visit. I'm convinced they had interest in him.
Yep.
Ed Bouchette claims that Dante Hightower would have been the pick. To me, that's all smoke right now. I don't think you can
could well be. Maybe they liked Upshaw, maybe they liked Hightower. The point is there were quality names on the board and they didn't have to do anything desperate to get a good football player, and it turns out they got the best football player.
Absolutely. And you know, I guess, oh, here's one thing, now people are getting all over me for my mock draft being busted. Oh, what a great way to have your mock draft busted. But one thing I will say, and Kobe Fleener, you know, people are gonna say, oh, Kobe Fleener fell out of the first round. Hey, I was admitting that very well could be the possibility with him falling out of the first round. He was not a slam dunk first round draft pick.
Come on, look, Kobe Fleener's going to go in the first five picks in the second round. Everybody's throwing darts. I mean, this is not a look. This is an exercise, as you have pointed out many times. Educated guesses. Nobody's looking to stand here and pound their chest and say they got picks right or wrong.
Now
we want to talk about what actually happened.
Yeah, and here, Cordy Glenn. Cordy Glenn.
Well, you want to pound your chest a little bit.
I just feel good that I was able to, and you know, you never know how this first round's going to go. I mean, there were some things that kind of shook this thing up. But Cordy Glenn falling out of the first round, there were a lot of people that had him in that top 15 even, David. This guy to me is just kind of an average guy. Now he's going to go in this second round.
He's going to go in the first five picks here too. Yeah.
But just goes to show you sometimes rank these guys the way you think that they are quality wise, because, you know, a lot of these teams definitely, I think, went best player available kind of situation, except for the Browns.
Yeah. And Dave, you look at what happened from 23 to 27 with Reef, DeCastro, Hightower, Merciless, and Zeitler going there, and you say those are those look like really good picks, and I'll even put Perry in there at 28. And then, you know, you have Harrison Smith that the Vikings, you know, the Ravens traded back. Good on them, because I don't know that the Vikings necessarily needed to trade up to get Harrison Smith there. That seems kind of crazy. A.J. Jenkins is getting some good publicity today, but certainly a lot of people raised an eyebrow at that pick with Reuben Randall on the board, with Alshon Jeffrey, with, you know, with the kid from Georgia Tech still there. That, to me, was a surprise. The guy had not been on my radar. The two backs go. So they're quality guys, and as you pointed out, some of those things, the picks that really opened up things for the Steelers with a pick at 15 by Seattle, the kid from West Virginia, and then, you know, the Browns being the Browns. I mean, I still cannot believe it. I got a long Twitter conversation with Sig Bloom and a woman who covers the Browns for the Bleacher Report, and we're all just kind of, you know, jaws on the ground as we're watching the press conference come out, and those things made it happen. And what's fun is, you know, the depth. We talked about the guys at the top of the draft, but, you know, from 10 to 60, I think it's a lot tougher to separate things. There are a lot of good football players on this board, and tonight might be even more fun than last night.
Yeah, I agree. And let's talk about David, the gift from heaven that we got real quick here. A move guard, played in a pro-style offense at Stanford. When you look at the scouting report on this, he started all 39 games he played at right guard, of course. Finished with a stellar 316 knockdown blocks, 68 touchdown resulting blocks, and a blocking consistency grade of 91.63. David, his grade of 96.88% in 2011 was the highest mark by any offensive lineman since consistency grades have been being kept, since 85 in Pac-12/Pac-10 conference history. This guy gets out of bed grumpy. You know, basically, you know, that's how he's described by the Stanford coach.
I love the comment. Yeah, that was, I think you posted, it was, he got here angry, and he's still angry.
Yeah, most definitely. And this is a guy that can, the Steelers love running that power. He's an excellent move trap type blocker, going to be perfect to run that counter pike play that the Steelers constantly like to play. Kind of run. He has the long arms. Now people want to know where is the sour spot on him? Kind of an average first punch, but he doesn't need it because he's such a good technician of where he keeps his arms inside. He is great at the second level, getting to the second level and usually nailing his man. One of the other knocks is he kind of can slide off at times of his second level block and not maintain his blocks all the time. What you're going to find that with any guy getting to the second level there with him. Those are really, as far as pass protection, he only gave up one sack and it is in his entire career at Stanford. I believe that was to the Price kid from UCLA. The guy, as far as measurables go, everything you want in him. And now the question becomes, now that we're so enthralled with him, and I put a post up this morning, left or right side? Well, of course.
Yeah, that's a good post, Dave. I enjoyed that. And I think you hit it out of the park on that one.
And really the thing is, no, and I notated in that post, you've got Gilbert, of course, flipping over to the left side. And Ligurski, to me, and probably your opinion too, Ligurski's a better swing man. I thought Ramon Foster graded out the most consistent of all offensive linemen on the Steelers last year. He did have a great game, the game he started against the Seahawks in relief of Kimo Atu. He's not a great move type guard. To me, Foster's better suited at the right guard position. So, I'm not ready to say, oh, let's just throw DeCastro over to the left side. I will say this, though, the kid is smart as a whip and a technician of the game. It would not surprise me to see him kind of get some shots early on to see if he can handle that left side because the Steelers are so right-handed last year, but it doesn't mean they have to be right-handed this year.
I think the way you set it up was perfect. The answer is David DeCastro can play either side. They're going to put him one place or the other, and he's going to be there on opening day. You hit the most important part of that. Is about Ligurski being a guy who can be your backup center and your backup at both guard positions as Trey Essex can maybe fill those roles as well. So, you know, as this always happens, when you draft a guy who can be a starter, and we talked about this, there were very few guys in this draft who were going to be able to come in and start for the Steelers. And we talked about it, and the point, as you said, really the only position is probably the offensive line and the interior of offensive line. And they got maybe the one guy in the whole draft who can come in and start tomorrow for the Steelers. Maybe Trent Richardson could do it at running back, but DeCastro is going to come in and start, and that gives you that depth. It makes that whole line better. You kind of see who those seven guys are now. Maybe Jonathan Scott is the extra guy, or maybe a guy they pick up here in the next couple rounds is going to be the extra guy. It just makes that whole line better. As Matt Williamson said, this line, if they're healthy, can be a top 10 offensive line. It's good days. Good days for Sean Coogler. Good day for Steeler fans.
Yeah, what did now, of course, everybody remember David. David's hosting on ESPN 970 during the draft coverage and all like that. He got to talk to Kevin Colbert last night. Tell the listeners, David, a little bit, and tell me too, embarrassingly, I missed it last night, your interview with him. Tell the listeners kind of what Colbert had to say to
you. Well, we were in there with Wolf and Rob King, and Kevin came in, and he talked about the process, and the first thing is, you know, he raved about DeCastro. He said, you know, look, just flat out surprised that he was there, thrilled that he was there, didn't take us long to make our decision. He did comment on the fact that, you know, there were a pool of guys, which the reason that, you know, they were comfortable at 24 that they were going to get a good football player, and as I said, thrilled to get the guy who was they had rated highest on their board with DeCastro. Talked about going to his pro day with Sean Coogler and being there and working him out, and just how the guy looked so strong when he engaged with guys, so strong in the hands, so good with his feet, able to keep driving. He said, yeah, occasionally he would go down in film that he saw, but it would be, you know, because he's at the second level, 4 yards down past the line of scrimmage. Great balance, dexterity. And he said he went through this stuff, and he said it was a demanding workout. And he said the guy didn't show any deterioration along the way. He said, I don't want to say he didn't break a sweat, but he said by the end of the workout, you know, he was just as strong as he was at the beginning. He just kind of raved about it, was thrilled about the whole process. And it was very, you know, very interesting to hear him, you know, right out of the war room kind of give this synopsis of this guy. So, you know, they were pleased, obviously, to get him. And, you know, having been there and seen him, worked him out, Coogler worked him out, you know, these guys felt extra comfortable about the pick they were making, and it worked out as good as it could have.
Can you imagine the shock in that war room when he was kept falling like that?
Yeah. Because it's the same shock the rest of us had as we were watching that. And, you know, it didn't matter. Just take DeCastro out of the equation. It's funny because it happens every year when you're drafting. The Steelers are obviously typically drafting late, and you sit there and you're four or five picks away, and everybody always has guys they want, and you're like, oh, should they trade up and get them? Should they trade up and get them? And that's the thing. That's the patience. That's being smart. That's doing the right thing. Look, maybe DeCastro goes and they end up getting Hightower. They get whoever they get, but in this case, they didn't. And that takes a lot of, you know, that's part of the skill of sitting in Kevin Colbert's seat, is knowing when to trade up and get Troy Polamalu, and knowing when to not trade up and David DeCastro falls to you. And, you know, sometimes you're lucky and sometimes you're good, but the Steelers have been good more often than not.
Sometimes you're both lucky and good, right?
Absolutely.
You know, we were talking about where that axis of need meets best player available and what meets need on an axis. I think we saw it.
Right.
I think we saw it. Let's talk about day two today, David. What's out there? What directions we think the Steelers could possibly go in?
Yeah, now? Just a couple of interesting points just to add on the stuff there is, you know, the Pats paid to play. They moved up. They only have two picks left in the draft. They're both coming here in the second round. The Steelers and the Ravens both have 9 picks left in this draft. The Ravens obviously have 2 in the second round, having moved back. And, you know, like Dave, we've talked about a lot of guys. The guy who I would – the magic happened twice would be, for me, Lavonte David falling to the Steelers here with their second pick. Do I expect it to happen? Of course not. Let's remember this round will only be 31 picks as New Orleans pick has been axed. But he would be, I think, if you know, he might not be the guy I take if I had the first pick in the second round. But if he's a guy that kind of I will be keeping a very close eye on to see if he falls into that kind of target of the 18th or 20th pick where, you know, maybe the Steelers would consider moving or maybe not.
Yeah, a couple of names to keep an eye on. Michael Kendricks, inside linebacker out of California. You know,
I think both those Cal guys, too, along with Schwartz, right?
Yeah, and it all depends. We've heard some stuff on the medical as far as Schwartz. Who knows what's true on that or not is, you know, how his medical is going to shake out as far as that goes. Levante David, as you mentioned, another guy. You know, Derek Wolfe, well, what's his stock right now? You know, 3-4 defensive end, 5 technique. Seen him go second round in some stuff here. Who else are we missing here? You know, running back.
You know, there are guys that we're going to watch that are going to go, or, you know, Silatalu is going to go here. We're going to see these big tackles and Massey and Adams and Martin all are on the board. I think we're going to have a run of receivers early with Randall and Jeffrey and some of the other receivers who are still out there. So, you know, the good thing is some of those aren't really need positions for the Steelers or areas they're going to look. And again, you know, if a couple of guys jump up and a couple teams take guys that maybe aren't anticipated, then maybe some of these guys start falling.
Yeah, you got you only have 4 offensive line off the board at that at right now, you know. And you got to think the Ravens are going to be looking at a center here soon, right? The Peter Kontz kid.
Yep.
In round 2 possibly.
Well,
so.
and they're going to be there right at 35. I don't know if they'll take him with that 3rd pick, but they very well may.
And, you know, with these tackles getting pushed down, is there a possibility that Bobby Massey falls down to the Steelers? You know, it's hard to rule out right now the way things have been going. You mentioned Mitchell Schwartz, too, who might very well be a 3rd-round guy now.
Or this kid Jeff Allen from Illinois.
Most definitely. They were at that pro day because they were there to see Merciless, too. So,
Dave, let me ask you, if a guy who's more projected as a guard type like Silatalu drops, do you pass on him? I imagine if one of the tackles is there that they love, they wouldn't pass on him. But would you take a guy who profiles more as a guard?
I watched this kid on tape, David. This kid was a move left tackle, okay? He was pulling from the left side tackle spot inside and destroying. His size dictates he plays in the phone booth at the next level. So if this guy is on the board, I don't think he's going to be, but if he is, that's gift number 2. And then you don't care. Then you definitely don't worry where David DeCastro lands.
right.
Because you got a nasty left guard who's just as much. You want to talk about becoming an ambidextrous power running team with Silatalu. You have it with him right there at the left guard spot. Brandon Brooks, hey, let's not forget this kid's name either. This is a guy that can play tackle too, can play left guard in a pinch. He projects as a guard at the next level. You know, you start getting really, really excited here, but, oh, boy, I'll be excited if that nasty kid Silatalu is there and is the pick in second round because he's your left guard right there, a plug-and-play guy too, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, Devin Still is – Mel Kiper's projected pick now for the Steelers. I don't see that.
I don't either, David.
But I'll tell you, you know, Kendricks, the linebacker from Cal, is a guy. We talked about the 2 Cal guys. Those are interesting guys. I think we see this run on receivers, which, again, doesn't bother me. It'll be interesting to see where Mike Adams goes out of Ohio State. Then and Janoris Jenkins as well. We could see some corners go here. I just do think the things, you know, as they stand right now, they do line up kind of nicely for the Steelers. But, you know, to really possibly take an offensive lineman again, which would be, you know, which would be very interesting. Sean Coogler be doing backflips.
Yeah, most definitely.
The other guy that I didn't mention, and I think this is Tamu, the nose tackle out of Washington, is a guy that certainly is going to be right around that area. And the question is, as you pointed out, is it Chapman or Martin that they think they can get in the next round, or is Ta'amu a guy that they want to go with if he's there in the second round?
Yeah, a lot of what I read, too, and watching Ta'amu, you know, you got to remember this guy's a little bit taller than normal, kind of hot and cold motor and all like that. I think it would be a little bit of a reach for him in round two, to be honest with you. I'm not going to say it's, hey, after what happened yesterday, I'm not going to say it's not happening. You can't speak in absolutes when you're talking about the NFL draft. I would just be a little surprised myself if it is him. I think you can find much better value possibly later on in the draft, especially with a guy like Chapman or Mike Martin, who they seem to have much more interest in. But, yeah, I think you very well could be looking at linebacker offensive line here in this round for the Steelers.
Mohamed Sanu is a good name I'll just throw out there again. He's the Rutgers wide receiver. He's a guy I like. He's a bigger guy. Some people think he has separation issues. I don't know that Steelers take him in the second round, but a third-round guy, if he's still around, being an interesting guy.
Yeah, most definitely. I think you're right, David, too. I think you're going to see a run on some receivers here in this round, along with running backs, too. There, we've already had, what, three of them taken?
Yep, the last two picks in the first round there. We saw the kind of three down guys go, and it leaves, I guess Lamar Miller out of Miami is maybe the next best back on the board. But we've got, LaMichael James, and we've got, Pede and all the other guys that we've talked about over the course of the past few weeks. So.
Absolutely. We're going to have a lot to talk about here over the next couple of days. But if you're going to grade this, David, how many pluses on top of the A?
Yeah, I think it's – I give him the podcast, 101. I give him 101.
Yeah, okay, let's go with that. We dedicate this podcast to the score 101 because – or the number 11 because it's one more louder, as they say in Spinal Tap. And I'm ecstatic. You're ecstatic. If you're in Steeler Nation and you're not walking around with a permanent grin plastered on your face this morning, you just don't understand. You need to go watch the film on David DeCastro at Stanford.
Yep, great stuff, Dave. I'll tell you one other thing is I didn't get to see as much on the television, so I watched that when I got home around 12:30 last night. And it's fun to see the genuine happiness of these guys when they were selected. That is it's obviously a special moment for them. They've worked hard in their lives. They've had people around them who have sacrificed a lot and done a lot. And it's nice to see young guys who it's not too cool for them to be happy. It's not too cool for them to give the commissioner a hug. It's not too cool for them to give their parents a hug. And that's kind of a fun thing, and that was fun to see last night.
Hey, real quick, though, you probably didn't see a lot of the coverage, but Roger Goodell was borderline molesting these kids. there are some points. Hey, there is more contact in those hugs than Goodell allows on the field sometimes.
Well, good, good. I mean, I'm all for it. It's fun to see those guys, fulfill their dreams, right?
Most definitely. I mean, yeah, these guys work hard all their lives to get to this, to get to this point, and it is good to see, but I just found that amusing.
All right. Well, Dave, great stuff. As I said, Dave and I will be back with you tomorrow. We'll try and get something up again in the morning so that you can listen to it before we get back at things noon on with rounds 4 through 7 on Saturday. The draft tonight starts at 7 o'clock. Round 2 will be 7 minutes of selection, and then for the rest of the draft, it's 5 minutes. DeMonte Dawson will be announcing the Steelers pick tonight. Each team will have a former player announce their second round pick. So you get to see Damani there, and I will be on. We'll be carrying the whole thing again this evening on 970 ESPN and on Steeler Nation Radio, which is the iHeart Radio app. And I'll be on from 8 to 10 tonight. I will be on with who am I on with? I'm on with Tom Bradley tonight. And Mike Pursuta. So Mike Pursuta and Tom Bradley and I will be with you from 8 to 10. So we should certainly get the Steelers' second round pick. I don't know if we'll also get the third round pick, and then I'll be on from 2 o'clock on tomorrow, and I'll be getting tons of picks because, as you know, the Steelers have 4 picks in that 7th round. So I'll be doing the basically everything from the 5th round on. So I'll have the pleasure of getting all these picks, and Dave and I'll get right back at you on Monday. So Dave, great analysis as always. Anything you want to close with here?
No, just go Steelers.
All right. Great stuff. Well, thanks as always for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.